الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, today is the sixth nice timing. Today is the 6th of Jumada Thani, 1433, which corresponds to the 27th of April, 2012. We continue our discussion on the tafsir of Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di alayhi rahmatullah, ayah 136 of Surah An-Nisa, which reads, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا بالله ورسوله آمنوا بالله ورسوله والكتاب الذي نزل على رسوله والكتاب الذي أنزل من قبل ومن يكفر بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا.
Amazing. The ayah reads in English, O you who have believed, believe in Allah and His Messenger. Notice now, O you who have believed, believe in Allah and His Messenger, and the book that He sent down upon His Messenger, and the scripture which He sent down before. And the scripture which He sent down before. And whoever disbelieves in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, has certainly gone far astray. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, اعلم أن الأمر إما أن يوجه إلى من لم يدخل في الشيء ولم يتصف بشيء منه. Know that it is possible that the command is directed to one who has not entered into something. A command is directed to one who has not entered into something, nor is he described with any of it. فَهَذَا يَكُونُ أَمْرًا لَهُ فِي الدُّخُولِ فِيهِ. So therefore it becomes a command for him to enter into it. He has neither entered into it, nor does he have any qualities, nor is he described with any of its qualities. So he's being told to enter. You will see why the Shaykh is saying this. Hang in there. وَذَلِكَ كَأَمْرِ مَنْ لَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنْ بِالْإِيمَانِ. This is like Allah telling the one who's not a believer to what? To believe. Huh? Allah commanding the disbelievers to believe. Is that not an example where Allah is commanding him to enter into something which they have not entered into, nor are they described with it? Correct. Because the kuffar do not have any iman. So they've been told to enter into iman. Right? وَإِمَّا أَنْ يُوَجَّهَ عَفْوًا كَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ آمِنُوا بِمَا نَزَّلْنَا مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ. An example would be, huh? When Allah Azza wa Jal said, O you who have been given the book, O people of the scriptures, believe in what we have sent down, which confirms what is with you. Guys, pay attention here. Pay attention. Allah may address the ones who don't believe. And after two Fridays, everything goes away? Listen to me. Listen to me. When Allah says, Oh, Ya ayyuha alladhina utul kitab, Oh, you who have been given the scriptures, believe in what has been sent down, which confirms what is with you. Is Allah calling on believers or disbelievers? Disbelievers. The people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, are disbelievers. So this is an example where Allah will command a category of people to enter into something which they have not entered into, nor are they described with. وَإِمَّا أَنْ يُوَجَّهْ إِلَى مَنْ دَخَلَ فِي الشَّيْءِ. Or it could be directed, the command could be addressing the one who has already entered into something. فَهَذَا يَكُونُ أَمْرٌ لِيُصَحِّحَ مَا وُجِدَ مِنْهُ وَيُحَصِّلَ مَا لَمْ يُجَدْ. So when Allah commands someone who has already entered into something to enter into it again, it means that either Allah wants him to fix, rectify what is not good, or to acquire what has not yet been acquired. Either to rectify what is bad, or to acquire that which has not yet been acquired. ومنه ما ذكره الله في هذه الآية من أمر المؤمنين بالإيمان. Like what Allah commanded the believers in this ayah. He commanded the believers to believe. Like, يا أخي, it says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا. Oh, you have believed, believe. The idea, the logic, if we wanted to use it without understanding the deen, which is not really the approach, but just for the sake of discussion, if Allah say, okay, if I say, hey Filipinos, become Filipinos, what are you going to tell me? We're already Filipinos. What do you want, man? Tell someone else, huh? Be like the Filipinos, maybe they can acquire some of their qualities. But we're already Filipinos. So, what? What do you mean? Huh? That is one. How do you look at it? When I say, let's say Filipinos are known for being brave. Huh? They're known for being brave. And during a battlefield, some of them start backing out. So I say, hey Filipinos, be Filipinos. Which means, you know what it means. When you're a Filipino, you won't back out. You will move forward. You get it? So I'm addressing them with what they already have to rectify something that is wrong or to acquire something they have not acquired yet. In this ayah, Allah commanded the believers to believe. But aren't they believers already? Yes, but it means that there's something of belief that they're not doing. There are elements of belief, qualities of belief they have not yet acquired. Or there are some errors which they need to be rectified. So Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا. Oh, you have believed? Believe. Otherwise one will think, if they're believers, why are they being told to do something which they have already done? You follow me? I hope so. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يَقْتَضِي أَمْرَهُمْ بِمَا يُصَحِّحُ إِيمَانَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَالصِّدْقِ وَتَجَنُّبِ الْمُفْسِدَاتِ وَالتَّوْبَةِ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْمُنْقِصَاتِ. This then necessitates that Allah is only commanding them to rectify their iman, like being sincere and being truthful and avoiding things which, if you take off your socks, you can't wipe over them, man. And avoiding things which nullify their iman, and to repent from all things which make iman deficient. ويقتضي أيضا الأمر بما لم يوجد من المؤمن من علوم الإيمان وأعماله. And it also includes commanding the believer to acquire what has not yet been acquired in regards to matters of faith and knowledge and the deeds. Yani, there are some people who just entered into iman, entered into Islam, and they're in the early stages of their iman. You say, oh, you have believed? Believe. Do some more, man. You know, you haven't done this, you haven't done that, you haven't acquired, you haven't learned this, you haven't learned that. So it's means of telling them to add, to acquire things which they have not yet acquired. Or they know but they're doing it wrong. Something is corrupting their iman. Believe, meaning leave alone these corruptions. Leave alone this corruption which is making your iman deficient. And return to Allah. وَفَإِنَّهُ كُلَّمَا وَصَلَ إِلَيْهِ نَصٌ وَفَهِمَ مَعْنَاهُ وَاعْتَقَدَهُ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ الْمَأْمُورِ بِهِ. So then every textual evidence which reaches you, every textual evidence which reaches you, and you understand its meaning and its implications, then it is part of iman. It is from the iman which you are commanded to act upon. Any evidence which comes to you from the Quran and the Sunnah, you understand it and you understand the application, as a believer you are expected to act upon it. وَكَذَلِكَ سَائِرُ الْأَعْمَالُ الظَّاهِرَةُ وَالْبَاطِنَةُ. Similarly, the rest of the deeds, the outwardly ones and the inwardly, or the apparent and the hidden, huh? Or the exposed and the concealed. كُلُّهَا مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. All of them are part of faith. كَمَا دَلَّتْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ النُّصُوصِ الْكَثِيرَةِ. As it has been indicated by the many, many ample textual evidences. وَأَجْمَعَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَفُ الْأُمَّةِ. Who can translate that? أَجْمَعَ. أَجْمَعَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَفُ الْأُمَّةِ. What does that mean? From جماعه صحيح جمعيه اجمع agreed upon عليه upon it على on or upon عليه the ha is in reference to what the sheikh mentioned earlier سلف ايوه the predecessors we add righteous as salaf as-salih because not everyone who preceded you is good fir'aun is a salaf for you but fir'aun is he a good man no I'm saying this because the other day I was invited to someone's office and then they said what would you like to drink I said Turkish coffee Lebanese people drink Turkish coffee and they bring me a coffee cup with Fir'aun on it Fir'aun you know the mummies and the whole pharaohs of the Egyptians with the whole thing and the I'm like what is this man Fir'aun a coffee maybe yani, I don't understand yani, all the cups in the market none of them pleased you except that you bring the enemy of Allah you put them on a cup and it's a Muslim So sad in the name of fashion and style what people are willing to do. Now bring Fir'aun. So surely we don't mean Fir'aun. Salaf al-Ummah we mean who? Who are Salaf al-Ummah Abdul Hadi? Who are the Salaf of this Ummah? And the Tabi'een and? Atba'u Tabi'eena. The first three generations. The truth is the Salaf is more than that. And it includes everyone who follows them on their way of righteousness. Ya Salam. وَمَن تَبِعَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ Allah is pleased with them, they are pleased with them. So we will include Ibn Kathir, and Ibn Taymiyyah, and Ibn Qayyim, and Imam al-Dhahabi, and the list goes on. Even though they were not in the early three generations, but they followed them in righteousness. They followed them in aqidah and manhaj. Which is what we strive to be upon بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَأَجْمَعَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَفُ الْأُمَّةِ ثُمَّ الْإِسْتِمْرَارُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَالثَّبَاتُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَى الْمَمَاتِ Then that you should be consistent in doing so and you should be firm upon that until death. كما قال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون Oh, you have believed. Protect yourselves from the punishment of Allah and do that which is beloved to Him the way He deserves it and do not die except as Muslims. وَأَمَرَ هُنَا بِالْإِيمَانِ بِهِ وَبِرُسُلِهِ وَبِالْقُرْآنِ وَبِالْكُتُبِ الْمُتَقَدِّمَةِ In this particular ayah, Allah commanded belief in Him and His messengers and the Qur'an and the previous scriptures. فَهَذَا كُلُّهُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ الْوَاجِبِ All of this is part of the obligatory, compulsory iman. الَّذِي لَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مُؤْمِنًا إِلَّا بِهِ With which the slave can never be a true believer unless he believes in that. Unless you believe in that. إِجْمَالًا فِي مَا لَمْ يَصِلْ إِلَيْهِ تَفْصِيلُهُ Wherein, إِجْمَالًا فِي مَا Be in general in that which you have not gotten the details of, the specifications of. وَتَفْصِيلًا فِيمَا عُلِمَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِالتَّفْصِيلِ And knowing in detail what has been explained to you in detail. I mean, there are things which Allah gave us that are general, you keep them general. And there are things which He gave us which are specific, you learn them in the specific manner in which they were revealed. فَمَنْ آمَنَ بِهَذَا الْإِيمَانِ الْمَأْمُورِ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَى وَأَنْجَحْ So whosoever believes in that iman, which he's commanded to believe in, he has been guided and he has succeeded. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ And whosoever believes بِاللَّهِ in Allah وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا Whoever disbelieves in those, he has gone far astray. This is interesting. Try to memorize it. Because if anyone ever asks you, when in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in the hadith of Jibreel, wherein he asked him about iman and Islam and iman and ihsan, The Prophet ﷺ told him, Al-Iman an tu'mina بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. So if someone ever asked you, where is that in the Quran? Is there something similar to it in the Quran? Say yes, ayah 136 of Surah An-Nisa, except that Qadr is not mentioned. Qadr? Because look at the ayah. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. How many were mentioned here? Five out of six. The only one not mentioned is what? Qadr. We say Allah says in the Quran, وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدْرًا مَقْدُورًا. The command of Allah is verily something that has been pre-decreed. Huh? كُلَّ يُصِيبَنَا أَلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ وَلَنَا. Say nothing will afflict us except what Allah has already written for us. So we need to sometimes, يعني, not that the surah is insufficient, but as extra knowledge, prove to the person you're dealing with that this is supported by the Quran and the Sunnah, the Iman, the six pillars of Iman. Like in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 136. طيب. The Shaykh said, وَأَيُّ ضَلَالٍ أَبْعَدُ مِنْ ضَلَالِ مَنْ تَرَكَ طَرِيقَ الْهُدَى الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And which, يعني, deviance is farther than the deviance of the one who has abandoned the path of guidance, which is straight and upright. Who is worse than that? وَسَلَكَ الطَّرِيقَ الْمُوصِلَ لَهُ إِلَى الْعَذَابِ الْأَلِيمِ. And not only did he abandon the path which leads him to guidance, which is straight, but he also followed the path which leads him to the severe torment.
وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْكُفْرَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ الْمَذْكُورَةِ كَالْكُفْرِ بِجَمِيعِهَا.
And I remember from the first day we started having these classes, Ya Abdul Hadi, I don't know how many years ago.
More than that.
This, I remember, this is the most emphasized point we ever studied because of its relevance to da'wah to Christians and so forth, which is disbelieving in one necessitates disbelieving in all. Disbelieving in one necessitates disbelieving in all. You cannot pick and choose in Iman. The Shaykh said, know then that disbelieving in any one of the aforementioned matters necessitates disbelieving in all of them. Yani if someone says, okay, I believe in Allah, no problem. I believe in scriptures, no problem. I believe in messages, but angels, ma'lish. No, brother. I don't believe in angels. Jazakallah khair. Can we say that? Is he a believer? Once he says that, he has disbelieved. Huh? You don't have the choice. You don't have the choice. In fact, let's be more specific. Let's say someone, I believe in all of them, but Jibreel, no. I believe in angels, but not Jibreel. Or not Israfil. Or not Mikael. Or not Malik. Or not Malakul Maut. Or not Munkar and Nakir. He denies any one of them, he has disbelieved. If he says, I believe in all the messengers except Ayyub, he disbelieved. I believe in all of them except Adam, I disbelieved. If he says, I believe in all of the scriptures except the Psalms of David, he disbelieved. Or the scriptures of Ibrahim, he disbelieved. And the list goes on. It's a whole package. You either carry it on your back or you drop it. You cannot take chunks out of it, carry and leave the rest on the ground. Either you pick up the whole thing or you drop the whole thing. There's nothing in between. Huh? That's why all the kuffar among the Unitarian Christians are kuffar. Even if they say, oh, Jesus is the messenger of God, God is one, no problem. I don't have a problem with that. We say you're still disbelievers because you haven't believed in Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. You haven't believed in the Quran. Huh? You haven't believed in other elements of faith. And if you don't believe in one, you don't believe in all. It's not going to benefit you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Na'am. نعم لتلازمها وامتناع وجود الإمام بعضها دون بعض. Because of the close relationship between them, and because it's impossible for you to believe in one while not believing in the other. ثم قال, then Allah said,
إن الذين آمنوا ثم كفروا ثم آمنوا ثم كفروا ثم ازدادوا كفرا لم يكن الله ليغفر لهم ولا ليهديهم سبيلا.
Listen to this ayah, man. Indeed, those who have believed, then disbelieved, then believed, then disbelieved, then increased in disbelief, never will Allah forgive them, nor will He guide them to a way. Huh? Huh? Well, I mean, how many times are you going to play with the iman? You see? But we will see how the scholars understand it.
أي من تكرر منه الكفر بعد الإيمان.
Whosoever repeatedly disbelieves after having believed. تكرر, something that happens constantly or continuously or often or repeatedly. Perhaps repeatedly is the best adverb here. What is the difference between an adverb and an adjective? Quito.
Yeah.
How is your English grammar?
Huh?
What? That's not part of the grammar. Who knows the difference between an adverb and an adjective?
Adjective is a word that describes. And the adverb describes a verb, an action.
Well, yeah, an adjective describes a noun. And an adverb describes a verb or an adverb or an adjective. I am giving you the complicated definition, which many people don't know. But the one that everybody knows from kindergarten, or not kindergarten, I'm sorry, from elementary school is, it describes the action or the verb. So you say, I speak slowly. Am I speaking about me being slow or by speaking? My speaking. And speak is a verb, slowly is an adverb describing speak. And that's what ends with L-Y. 95% of them end with L-Y. So repeatedly is an adverb of frequency, by the way. Something that happens like always, sometimes, often. These are considered adverbs of frequency. Repeatedly, I go to school repeatedly. Repeatedly is describing go, which is a verb. He's a big man. Big is an adjective describing man. Or describing he, actually. Got it? And he is not a verb, is a noun or a pronoun here. Ala kulli hal, here's what the Shaykh said. So whoever repeatedly disbelieves after having believed, fahtada thumma dalla, he was guided, then he went astray. Wa absara thumma amiya, he saw, then he became blinded. Wa amana thumma kafar, and he believed, then he disbelieved. واستمر على كفره وازداد منه. Then after reaching that stage, he increased in his disbelief and he remained upon it. فإنه بعيد من التوفيق والهداية لأقوام الطريق. He's very far, very, very, very far from the path of guidance and success to the right path. وبعيد من المغفرة, and he's far from the forgiveness, لكونه أتى بأعظم مانع يمنعه من حصولها, because he has committed the greatest preventer of acquiring guidance or forgiveness, the greatest sin which prevents forgiveness, he has brought it. فإن كفره يكون عقوبة وطبعا لا يزول. Then his disbelief will become a punishment and a mode of his which will not vanish or will not perish. Khalas, he'll be stuck on kufr, bent on kufr. Wal-iyadu billah. Naam. Kama qala ta'ala, as Allah said, falamma zaghu azagha Allahu qulubahum. So one day turned away, when they deviated, Allah caused their hearts to turn away and deviate. وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفِيدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. And we turn over their hearts and their vision like they have not believed in it the first time. Like they have not believed. They go back to the state when they have not believed in it the first time. They will be totally, totally blinded because of their initial rejection. That's why it's very important.
Now look what the Sheikh said. ودلت الآية أنهم إن لم يزدادوا كفرا بل رجعوا إلى الإيمان وتركوا ما هم عليه من الكفران فإن الله يغفر لهم. The ayah suggests that if they did not increase in disbelief, huh? If they did not increase in disbelief, rather they returned to iman and they left the acts of disbelief, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive them. Allah speaking about those who disbelieve, then they increase willingly, increase in disbelief, huh? And they turn away from it. And they, these are the ones. But those who want to return, even if they believe, disbelieve, if every time they want to return, Allah will forgive them. The problem is with those who don't want to return. It happens to many Christians, by the way. Many Balik Islam. They come to Islam, they know the truth, they go back home, pressure, family pressure, they leave and they become Christian again, they come back to the kingdom, they see the Muslims, they become Muslim again, they go back to the Philippines, for example, I'm just saying Philippines, or it could be any other country, but this is the biggest jaliyah. Then they come back here, the third time say, too much man. Every time going back and forth, changing, yallah. A Christian is easier anyways. Every time I go home, I don't have to act. I don't have to have problems with my family. I don't have to worry about anything. I can still have a girlfriend. I can get drunk. I can eat bacon. Hey, that's a good life. Khalas, he knows. He knew Islam was the true religion of Allah. He knew Islam was the ticket to Jannah. But khalas, he decided, I'll enjoy the dunya. I'll worry about it later. This one is very far-fetched that he will return. Because now he made that choice himself. Huh? He made that choice himself. So this is what is very serious. It's a very serious matter. Wallahu musta'an. وَلَوْ تَكَرَّرَتْ مِنْهُمُ الرِّدَّةِ. So Allah will forgive the one who wants to return even if they had many times apostatized. If he were to, after 5 years, say, what am I doing? Astaghfirullah. I know I should be a Muslim. Allah will guide him back. He has to do something. He has to do something. وَإِنْ كَانَ هَذَا الْحُكُمْ فِي الْكُفُرِ فَغَيْرُهُ مِنَ الْمَعَاصِ الَّتِي دُونِيَهَا مِنْ بَابِ أَوْلَى. This is where we need to pay attention even more closely. Another advert for you. If this is the case in regards to kufr, then other sins amongst other sins that are lesser than that is also included in this understanding by default. أَنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَوْ تَكَرَّرَتْ مِنْهُ ثُمَّ عَادَ إِلَى التَّوْبَةِ عَادَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ. That the slave, if he were to commit this sin many times, but he will return to Allah in tawbah, then Allah will forgive him again and again and again and again and again. As long as he does not what? Reach the point where he says, خَلَاص. This sin, I'm not going to do tawbah from. I like it. And therefore, I'm not going to do tawbah, and then he is in trouble. Then it becomes difficult for him to ever return to that path. Now look at this now. This is now you're about to read or listen to some Quranic sarcasm. Does anyone know what sarcasm is? Sarcasm in English literature? Or someone being sarcastic?
Saying something else, doing something else.
You could have put it in better English words. Repeat it, it's good. But give me a better sentence. Repeat it.
Saying something, but meaning something else.
Beautiful. Is that what you said the first time?
No.
Okay. Saying something while meaning usually the opposite. Or something else. For example, alaykum salam, you see that a brother, mashallah, yani he's been eating a lot lately. He gained a few kilos. So you see him say, brother, mashallah, you've lost weight, man. You've lost weight. And you're trying to say, what happened to you? You gained weight. This is being sarcastic. Huh? As being sarcastic. So, or you say, for example, you're very upset. And someone says, how are you? Say, I'm very happy. You're being sarcastic. Tayyib? So,
isn't saying something like,
while meaning something else, usually the opposite. Basically. But they usually do it a lot in school. What an intelligent student you are. I mean, what a stupid student you are. That's what it means.
So be careful when your teacher tells you that you're intelligent, you have to really think a few times, what does she really mean? Or what does he really mean? I mean, they may mean it. I'm not saying every time they say it, they mean the opposite. But you know what I'm saying. طيب. خلاص. So now listen to the ayah. The ayah says, بشر المنافقين بأن لهم عذابا أليما الذين يتخذون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين أيبتغون عندهم العزة فإن العزة لله جميعا. Look. Give glad tidings to the hypocrites that there is for them a painful punishment. Those who take disbelievers as allies instead of the believers, do they seek with them honor? But indeed, honor belongs to Allah entirely. Now, giving glad tidings is what? Good news. Good news. That's what the Bible is supposed to be, right? The good news. Glad tidings, good news. Brother, I give you the good news, the glad tidings. You know, Allah has blessed you with a daughter, for example. You know, something like that. You don't tell me, I give you the good news. You know, your car was just, you know, totaled while parked down the street. Okay, because once he tells you good news, what are you looking for now? You're looking for good news. If he were to tell you bad news, how are you going to feel? Happy or unhappy? Are you going to be teased? Are you going to be irritated? Yes. Very much. Say, brother, what's up with you, man? You tell me good news and then you give me bad news. You know, if you say good news, give me good news, or tell me I have some bad news for you and give me bad news. Don't tell me I have good news and then give me the bad news. So look what Allah said. بشر المنافقين. Give glad tidings to the hypocrites. That what? That Allah will forgive them and they will be among the Muslims. No, that they will have a painful torment. عجيب. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, البشارة تستعمل في الخير وتستعمل في الشر بقيد. Bishara, in general, glad tidings, is used for good. And it could be used for evil, but with a condition. With a condition. كما في هذه الآية, like in this ayah. يقول تعالى بشر المنافقين. Give glad tidings to the منافقين. أي الذين أظهروا الإسلام وأبطنوا الكفر. Those who display Islam and conceal disbelief. Huh? Not minor hypocrisy, major hypocrisy. بأقبح بشارة وأسوأها. يا لطيف يا رب. Give him the tidings with the worst kind of glad tidings, or the worst kind of tidings, and the ugliest of all. وهو العذاب الأليم, that is the severe torment. وذلك بسبب محبتهم الكفار وموالاتهم ونصرتهم وتركهم لموالات المؤمنين. And that is because of their love of the disbelievers, them taking, being allies with them, then them aiding them, and them abandoning being allies with the believers. فَأَيِّ شَيْءٍ حَمَلَهُمْ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ. What made them do that? What forced them to do that? What caused them to do that? Abandon the believers and love the disbelievers, ally with the disbelievers, aid and assist the disbelievers. Why? Why would the munafiqeen do that? أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ. Are they doing this to get honor? The kuffar are powerful, Muslim army is weak, so we want to be honored. Allah will just go with them so we can get some worldly status. Huh? وَهَذَا هُوَ الْوَاقِعُ مِنْ أَحْوَالِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. This is the real, this is the actual fact when you look into the affair of the hypocrites. سَاءَ ظَنُّهُمْ بِاللَّهِ. They have evil assumption, evil thoughts about Allah. وَضَعُفَ يَقِينُهُمْ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ لِعِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And their certainty in Allah aiding and granting victory to His believing slaves is weak. وَلَحَظُوا بَعْضَ الْأَسْبَابِ الَّتِي عِنْدَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And they paid attention, they noticed some of the reasons which the kuffar have, يعني some of the means of strength that they have, nuclear weapons and whatever. وَقَصُرَ نَظَرُهُمْ عَمَّا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. But they were short-sighted in regards to what is beyond that, what is after that.
فَاتَّخَذُوا الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ يَتَعَزَّزُونَ بِهِمْ وَيَسْتَنْصِرُونَ. So they took the kafirin as allies. They seek honor through them and victory. وَالْحَالُ أَنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. However, the matter is that izzah belongs to Allah. All of it. All of the honor belongs to Allah. فَإِنَّ نَوَاصِ الْعِبَادِ بِيَدِهِ وَمَشِيئَتِهِ نَافِذَةٌ فِيهِمْ. The foreheads, the forelocks of the slaves of Allah are in His hand, and His will is effective upon them. يعني it's subduing them. The term نَافِذَةٌ فِيهِمْ. يا معشر الجن والإنس إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا من أقطار السماوات والأرض فانفذوا لا تنفذون إلا بسلطان. It's the idea of going through something and being totally encompassing it, total surrounding of something. So the Mashiach of Allah, there's no way around it. It's in effect, and it applies and it controls every single thing. وَقَدْ تَكَفَّلَ بِنَصْرِ دِينِهِ وَعِبَادِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah has taken it upon Himself to aid and to grant victory to His deen and His believing slaves. وَلَوْ تَخَلَّلَ ذَلِكَ بَعْضَ الْإِمْتِحَانِ لِعِبَادِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Even though there may be some testing for His believing slaves, like what's happening in Syria or in Afghanistan. We're being tested because of the negligence of the ummah. You see? What is happening is not because Allah's victory is not there. Allah can defeat Bashar and his army instantly, like He did with Fir'aun and his people. He sent upon them frogs and lice and the blood, huh? And the jarad, the locust. Allah sent upon them soldiers from His creation. The people of Fir'aun, the people of Fir'aun would be cooking something. They would be cooking. Huh? They open up the pot and the food which they had cooked will become frogs. They would be about to drink water. He will pour the water in the cup, and just before he's about to drink the water, it will turn blood. That's how Allah punished them. Until Allah did what? How did He kill them? Drown them. Did Musa and his people get engaged? Did they get engaged in any warfare with them? No, they just ran. They just ran. And Allah killed Fir'aun and his people by Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, without using any tools among His people, among His human beings. So we know that Allah can give victory to the people in Syria or elsewhere. However, we have not done what makes us deserving of victory. End of story. We don't deserve it. So they're being tested. Perhaps in the elongation of the suffering, more awakening will come about. More Muslims will return to the deen. Among the Syrian people at least, many of the Shabab had nothing to do with the deen. Now, alhamdulillah, they started praying. They weren't praying when there was peace and security to some extent. Now in the midst of bullets flying and bombs dropping, they're praying. So there's khair for them in this fitna, and there's khair for us in the fitna as well. What are we doing regarding them, and what are we doing to enhance the condition of the ummah so we can help in getting over these problems? So ultimately the Allah's promise is going to come to pass. There's no way around it. However, what are we doing? That's the question which we should ask ourselves. وإدالة العدو عليهم إدالة غير مستمرة. And that Allah Azza wa Jal gives an edge for the disbelievers over them, but it is not continuous. It is not permanent. يعني the kuffar will be in control. They will be powerful to some extent at some times, but it will not be consistent. There will come a time when it will drop, and the believers will be the ones who rise. Usually when the believers return back to the deen of Allah. I mean, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is clear. He said, and then Allah will send upon you humiliation that He will not remove hatta tarji'u ila deenikum, until you return to your deen. This is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He told us already, this is going to happen. And it will not change until you return back to your deen. Until you return to your deen. Same thing Allah says in the Quran. دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. That they should act upon the religion which He is pleased with. These are the ones whom Allah promised that He يُمَكِّنُهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He will give him authority over earth. And He will give him the ability to practice the deen. Those who do what Allah Azza wa Jal commands, they enjoin what is good and they forbid what is evil. فَإِنَّ الْعَقِبَةَ وَالْإِسْتِقْرَارَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The end and the stability inevitably and eventually will be only for the believers. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ التَّرْهِيبُ الْعَظِيمُ مِنْ مُوَالَاتِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَتَرْكِ مُوَالَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. In this particular ayah, there's a great, great, great threatening in regards to taking the disbelievers as allies and having allies with the believers or allying the believers. وَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ صِفَاتِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. And that doing so is a quality of hypocrisy and hypocrites. وَأَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ يَقْتَدِي مَحَبَّةَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمُوَالَاتِهِمْ وَبُغْضِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَعَدَاوَتِهِمْ. And that Iman necessitates loving the believers and taking them as allies and hating the disbelievers and taking them as enemies. Yes. If you're a true believer, you will never be compatible with a kafir. You may give him da'wah, therefore you're nice and you're kind and you're considerate and you're courteous and you're gentle and all the good stuff which we learn from da'wah. We even when Allah sent Musa and Harun to Fir'aun, He said, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. And say to him something soft. Huh? Don't scold him. To Fir'aun, the big kafir and the big taghut. So yes, in terms of da'wah, this necessitates a particular mode of behavior for da'wah. But does that mean that in our hearts we love them? Yes? You love them in your hearts, the kafirs? You love the du'at, you mean? Those who give da'wah or what? Wait, Abdullah, you... Aywa, you do... So if a disbeliever is a big soccer player, you know, or what is that boxer? Pakuya, Pakyo. Hey, go, yes! Win! Yes? No. Boxing is haram, number one. Number two, it's a kafir, man. It's a kafir. Who cares? If you have love for him, wallah, there's something wrong with your heart. There's something wrong with your heart. 100%. No, look, admit your shortcomings, I admit mine. Okay? But don't try to twist it and say, no, it's okay, brother, this is sport, I like the sport, I'm not talking about his faith, blah, blah, blah. They say, this is philosophy, man. This is philosophy. The Sahaba, their own parents would come and they would say, oh Messenger of Allah, my mother has come to me. Huh? And do I let her in? Do I keep kinship ties with her? She's a kafir, yalla, out. He said, no, be dutiful to your mother. And so the Prophet ﷺ commanded that even if your mother or your parents are disbelievers, you are dutiful to them. And of course the Quran endorsed that already. Sahih? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِهِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If both of them struggle that you associate partners with me, that which you have no knowledge of, do not obey them, but be kind to them in the dunya. So Islam is the one who told us. So because of the Islam, now we're not speaking about natural love. The natural love which his child has to his parents, this is normal. Huh? We're speaking about the love of faith, that greater form of love, that you wind up forsaking the deen to make them happy. That the commands of Allah conflict with the commands of the parents, and so you choose the command of the parents over the commands of Allah. Come to church. Just come with us once. Okay. And you go to church. This is love now. That is haram. Because you chose them over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But it doesn't mean that you hate your father as a son. You hate him as a Muslim to a non-Muslim, but you treat him kindly because Allah commanded you to do so and you want to give him da'wah. But you don't love him in terms of, oh, he's a Christian, it's okay, good, this is good for him, no problem. La. You have to understand, this is what faith entails. If you don't believe me, don't believe me. Read the Quran. Read the Quran from the beginning till the end and see how many times this lesson is being repeated. So much so that Ibrahim said to his father and his people that we are innocent from you and you are innocent from us. وَبَدَتْ بَيْنَنَا الْبَغْضَاءُ وَالْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ. Until you believe in Allah, and between us there shall appear enmity and hatred. حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. Until you believe in Allah alone. That's Ibrahim, Al-Hanif, Abu Al-Anbiya. He told his own father, nothing to do with you, man, until you believe in Allah alone. We are innocent from each other, and hatred and enmity shall exist ever, because we can't be on the same page. You see, this is the Quran. That's the test of the dunya. That's the test of... What is the dunya? Temptation. Temptation. You're being tested with temptation to choose Allah over your temptation. Temptation could be women, it could be money, it could be cars, it could be family members. It could be kinship ties. It could manifest in different ways. Anytime we choose that over Allah, we're not really doing the job that is 100% acceptable. You follow me? It's part of the test. Anyways, inshallah, with that we can conclude our discussion on this particular ayah. And bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, next week we will deal with ayat 140 and 141 and whatever Allah may facilitate. Wa sallallahu wa sallam. Oh, by the way, ala nabiyyina Muhammad, the next ayah is very important. The very next ayah.
What was the last ayah?
The ayah we did right now is 139. The next ayah is very important for us to understand the what do we do when we are in a place where evil is being committed. Inshallah ta'ala.